Well, could you have that passage in front of you, please? That would be really helpful. And as you're turning to that, just let me check. Do we have any Argentinians here today? Oh, yes, we do, don't we? Yes, one of the wardens. I just happened to be reading about Argentina in this book called Operation World. It's a guide to all the nations of the earth. And it provides you with what is happening in the Christian church in every single country on earth, and it gives you things to pray about. And each entry starts with answers to prayer. And so I'm reading about Argentina. I just happened to be reading about Argentina the other day, and this is what I read. Prison ministry continues to transform Argentina's jails. Revival began in Olmos High Security Prison, with half of its 3,000 inmates now believers. And then the revival spread to 200 other institutions. An estimated 25% of all prisoners in Argentina are Christian. One prison, Cristo La Unica Esperanza, is the only completely evangelical prison in Latin America. That's extraordinary, isn't it? And here's the thing. You might think to yourself, well, where has God been working in Argentina? It is not where you would expect. He has been at work in prisons. But it shouldn't be unexpected, because all through the Bible, God does the unexpected. He meets people in the most unlikely places. He is often working where we least expect it. And that's what we're thinking about today. We've jumped right into the middle of the story of Jacob. Jacob is the grandson of Abraham, but Jacob is also the twin brother of Esau. And at this point, it is very hard to know who is more unpleasant, Jacob or Esau. They are both really awful. It reminds me of a story I once heard about a Roman Catholic priest. Sorry if you've heard this story, but this Roman Catholic priest, he arrives in his first parish, and the local mafia chief, Giovanni, drops down dead. Giovanni's brother, Giuseppe, comes round to this new priest and he says to him, okay, here's what we're going to do. You're going to take the funeral, you're going to give the tribute, and you're going to tell everyone that my brother Giovanni was a real saint, or else you're going to die. Have you got it? Now, the priest knew that Giovanni was a liar, a cheat, a crook, and an absolute toe rag. But he's left with a bit of a problem, isn't he? He can lie about Giovanni and live, or he can tell the truth and die. A couple of days later, the funeral takes place. All the mafia turn up with their violin cases and their white Jaguars. And the priest gets up to give the tribute. Today, he says, we mourn the passing of Giovanni. He was a liar, a cheat, a gangster, and a crook. But compared to his brother Giuseppe, he was a real saint. Jacob and Esau are really both a pair of toe rags. Jacob has deceived Esau. He's tricked him. And now Esau is going to kill Jacob. He's going to tear him limb from limb. Which is what we thought Nadal was going to do to Medvedev, didn't we? But maybe not. Jacob is completely alone. He's running for his life. He can't even find someone to take him in. He has to bed down with a stone for a pillow. It is the most unpromising situation. But in this entirely unspiritual, ordinary place, God meets Jacob. So verse 12, if you could look at verse 12. Jacob has this dream. He sees this stairway, or almost a ladder. You could think of it as a ladder. And there above it stood the Lord who meets with Jacob. And it's so easy to miss the significance of this. I've read this passage many times. It's so easy to miss. But this is so often how God works. He meets people. He meets them out there in the most everyday, ordinary places of this world. You see, we often think there is this great divide between the secular and the sacred. So what happens is we do God here. We do God in this building, and we do God on a Sunday morning, but the rest of the week, Monday to Saturday, that's not God time. God time is in here, in this building. The situation out there is another world, and he's not interested. Now, you might say to me, oh, no, I don't think like that at all. But so often, that's how we live. We end up living like that. And the point of these frontline Sundays is to try and help us see that there is no secular sacred divide. There is no divide. There is one world. God created all of it. And all of it is his. All of it matters. And so when you read through the Bible, you find that time and again, God meets people in really ordinary places in the world. He meets Moses in a burning bush. Jesus meets Zacchaeus up a tree. Jesus meets that woman by the well in John chapter 4. She's just going about her everyday business. It is the most unspiritual place, but that's where Jesus meets her. Jesus meets Peter by his fishing boat, his place of work. And here God meets Jacob in this very, very ordinary place. But this ordinary place becomes an extraordinary place because God transforms it. This stairway resting on the earth and reaching to heaven becomes a touching point for heaven and earth. And the touching point for heaven and earth is not in a church. The touching point for heaven and earth is not in a worship service. It's not while we're singing. The touching point is not any kind of special place or time at all. But it's an example of a front line. A front line is a place where God and his world meet. And it's very simple. It's very simple. As we tried to illustrate with Katie, a front line is whenever we go to all the very ordinary places we go to. And when I say ordinary, I mean places like Sainsbury's, or the gym, or the WI. These really ordinary places, when we go to them, but trusting that Christ goes with us, they become front lines. And so someone's put it like this. When we go to our ordinary places, when we go there in the name of Jesus, those ordinary places become touching points between heaven and earth. So if you think back to that little video we watched, the plumber, an ordinary place, a very ordinary place was the customer's house, but he goes there as a Christian plumber. And so it becomes a touching point between heaven and earth. For the grandma, the ordinary place is the front room, but it becomes a front line because she goes there believing that the front room belongs to Christ, and so does she. For the office worker, the office is her front line. For the football coach, the football pitch is the front line. Do you see? All we're talking about today is a change of perspective. And we need to keep being reminded that this is God's world. All of that out there is God's world, and he is interested in it. And every time we go into that world with that mindset, then potentially that very ordinary place, that uninspiring place, is transformed. Potentially. It becomes a place where the world can actually encounter Jesus because the world is encountering you. So can I tell you a little story, a little personal story from my own history? The materials that we're using for this series are produced by the London Institute for Contemporary Christianity, LICC. Mark Green is the director of LICC. Many years ago, he came to speak at my church in Sevenoaks. And at that point, when he came to speak, I had been working in an office as a solicitor for 14 years. 14 years. But hurrah! Literally, the day before he came to speak, I had resigned as a solicitor in order to go and become ordained as a minister. Why was I doing that? Because I honestly thought that what I was doing as a solicitor had no real value. I thought it was of no real interest to God. I thought the real action was what I did outside of work. I thought the real action was what happened on a Sunday when I was doing Christian stuff with Christian people. No one had ever suggested to me that my office was a front line. No one had ever suggested to me that God might have a purpose for me in that place. But I really wish they had, you know, because it would have made those 14 long years so much more significant. It would have made those 14 years seem so much more worthwhile. And I do believe that God would have used me much more fruitfully if I had had that perspective. So let me say again, we all have a front line. We all have a front line, a place where we do life or we do work and where we encounter people who don't know Jesus. And when we go to those places with that changed perspective, they can become places where God is at work because he loves to meet people in the most unexpected places, even in an Argentinian prison. Let me finish with a word about Jacob, because this is a very rich passage. So if you bear with me, I want to just say a little word about Jacob. I started off by saying that he really was the most unattractive guy. He really was. He deserves nothing. But God meets him, and God makes him these extraordinary promises. I don't want to look at the promises this morning because we looked at all those promises when we looked at Abraham. But what I do want to think about briefly is, how is it that all these promises are possible? How is it that someone so undeserving, someone who has messed up so badly in so many ways, is so blessed? How is it possible? Well, the answer is the stairway. Or the ladder in verse 12. You see, there is a gap between us and God. Everyone knows that, don't they? There is a gap between us and God. If you go to almost any RE lesson in this country today, you will be told in that RE lesson that religion is a ladder. Christianity is a ladder to help people get to God. You climb up the ladder in order to get to God. But the problem is, our ladders don't work. Some people climb the ladder of religion, but some of us climb the ladder of being kind or being generous or doing charity or even turning up to church. There's nothing wrong with those things, but they don't work as ladders that get us to God. They don't work. What we see here with Jacob is a ladder provided by God. What is the ladder? Who is the ladder? The ladder is Jesus. Right at the beginning of John's Gospel, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." He's making a reference back to this passage in Genesis 28, and he's saying, "I am the way to heaven, Jesus." We keep on trying to climb up to God. Even the best of us, the most faithful, the ones of us who really get the gospel, we still try and climb our way up to God, don't we? But the ladder that works is where he comes down to us. When Jacob woke up, verse 17, right at the end there, It's an extraordinary verse, isn't it? How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. The other day I was reading about a man called George Wilson. He's no relation, I don't think. George Wilson. In 1830, he was convicted of robbing the US Postal Service and he received the death penalty. But he had lots of influential friends, and through their influence, he was granted a presidential pardon from President Andrew Jackson, the US president. But George Wilson refused it. The case went before the US Supreme Court, and they ruled that a pardon had to be received in order to be effective. It had to be received in order to be effective. A free, undeserved gift, and we call it grace, don't we? A free, undeserved gift came to George Wilson, but he refused it. He refused it, and so the penalty had to be paid. If you read on in Genesis 28, and I'd love you to go home and read just the next couple of verses of Genesis 28, you'll see that Jacob did not refuse this gift. He is the most undeserving of people, but God offers him this extraordinary gift, and he doesn't hesitate. He's offered the ladder, and he grabs it. Jacob grabs it. Verse 20, you can read it this afternoon. Jacob makes this vow. He says, "The Lord will be my God. This stone, which was my pillow last night, this will be his house, and I will give to him a tenth of all that I receive." God meets Jacob in this very, very ordinary place. And we should learn to expect that God will meet people in really ordinary places, like Katie's nursery or Anne's surgery. But here's the thing, God transforms that ordinary place into a holy place. If we go to the ordinary places of our lives, if we go there in the name of Jesus, we should expect him to make those places touching points between heaven and earth. But Jacob doesn't leave this encounter unchanged. He takes hold of God's grace, and it's the same for you and me. God holds out the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ to every single one of us. But so often, we walk away, don't we? We hear it, we think, "Oh, that's nice. Yeah, that's quite interesting." And we walk away. Please don't walk away from God's grace. To walk away from Christ is to refuse him. And to refuse him is to leave yourself without a ladder. It's to leave yourself like that man, George Wilson, bearing your own penalty. So please don't do that. But then let's remember these things, not just today, for half an hour. Let's try and remember it through the week. All through the week, we all have this front line. Most of us don't even need to go looking for a front line. We just have got one, wherever it is. But we need to see it with fresh eyes. We need to see this ordinary place and see that actually God can be at work there if I go there trusting in him and his grace to me. So more next week, but let me pray this prayer. So do pray with me. Lord of all creation, thank you that our everyday ordinary places matter to you. And thank you that we can make a difference there. And so we offer you the places where we live, the places where we work, where we study, where we do things. May we serve you there and bear witness to you wherever we are this week. And may we know your presence with us in these places. Amen.